Issues, Etc., regular guest Pastor Stephen Parks on why your congregation should join the Issues, Etc. 300.
If I could, I'd just like to challenge any Lutheran pastors that are listening to consider becoming one of the congregations that supports Issues, Etc. My own congregation is a very small church, and I know it can be difficult to try and budget $1,000 a year to become one of the Issues, Etc. 300. But if you're being blessed by this, as I know you are, and if your congregation is being blessed by this, as I know that it is, I submit to bring it to the congregation to prayerfully consider supporting the outreach of Issues, Etc., not only here in the United States, but also around the world. Thank you so much for what you do.
Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget. Simply go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues, Etc. The Issues, Etc. 300. Between now and when Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week begins, we thought we'd take some time, listen to a few of your comments from the Issues, Etc. comment line, live this Friday afternoon, May the 27th. That comment line is for our listeners, for our on-demand listeners, live listeners, however you listen to Issues, Etc., whenever you listen, wherever you listen, and whatever your question, your comment, your criticism, your suggestion might be, 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384. It's for you, 24-7, 365 days a year. You can call at any time with any question whatsoever. It is a way to almost guarantee that your question or comment gets a response here on the air on Issues, Etc. Up first, some feedback concerning a show earlier this week on unforgiveness.
This is Paul in Milwaukee regarding the practice of unforgiveness discussed in the May 25th Issues, Etc. program. Forgiveness is not a work, yet in Matthew 6, Jesus tells his disciples to pray, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And again, "If you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father, to whom you pray, forgive you your trespasses." How is this not a quid pro quo, something for something, between one and the offender, and between one and God? Scripture interprets Scripture. The notes of the Lutheran Study Bible seem silent on the point. Thanks for listening.
Well, they really don't have to be silent on the point, actually. There are several things we can say. First of all, is it a difficult passage in terms of making it sound as though there is a quid pro quo, that God's forgiveness of us depends entirely upon our forgiveness of Him? Notice the order, though, in the classic parable that illustrates this from our Lord's own teaching, the parable of this unforgiving steward who was first forgiven his enormous, incalculable debt to his master for no good reason other than that his master simply was that gracious and that generous. Then in turn, that forgiven servant went out and did not forgive his neighbor. Only then was there prison time for the poor guy, and it was well-deserved. Ungrateful servant, he says. First, God forgives. And what Jesus is teaching by this parable is God's graciousness to us creates in us the desire, even though we would not otherwise be able or willing to do such a thing, creates in us the desire to show that mercy to others. One follows the other as naturally as dominoes fall one after another. God forgives us, we forgive others. That's how forgiveness works, or should work. So it's not a quid pro quo. If anything, when we do not forgive, we show that we do not understand the forgiveness that we have already received. That we do not, I don't want to use the word appreciate because that makes it sound like we're grateful. We do not grasp the forgiveness that we receive. And Jesus does say that one who refuses to forgive his brother has cut himself off from the forgiveness that God has for him. So is the urgency upon us to forgive our brother? Yes, not so that God will forgive us. God has already forgiven us. The urgency is upon us to forgive our brother because we already have been forgiven. In that case, And Luther's quite right on this when he reads the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive those, forgive our debtors." He reads this as, first God forgives, so will we willingly, so will we gladly and willingly forgive our brother when he sins against us. Which comes first? God's forgiveness. Which comes second? Our forgiveness. When we do not forgive our neighbor as we have been forgiven, we demonstrate that we have not grasped, appreciated, understood the forgiveness that God has for us. We cut ourselves off from that forgiveness. Simply let the forgiveness flow, says Luther. We'll be right back with a few more comments from the Issues Etc. comment line. I'm sure the operator will be glad to put you through, so dial 0 for assistance. If this all confuses you, so tell me why.
Are you uncomfortable with making an online credit card donation? Well, here's an option for you. Call me at 618-223-8382, and I'll personally take your credit card donation and process it for you. Hi, this is Craig Feidinger of Lutheran Public Radio. Call me today, 618-223-8382, and make a secure credit card donation to help support Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Abortion and the states.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Since Roe v. Wade in 1973, over 53 million unborn babies have died. Pro-life citizens and legislators have worked to stem the tide at the federal level. But in 37 years, Congress has produced only three significant victories, including the Hyde Amendment and the ban on late-term abortions. As important as those federal victories are, state legislatures have been far more successful in restricting abortions. Most states require parental notification, counseling for a woman seeking an abortion, and a waiting period before receiving an abortion. Listen next time for more on what states can do.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
We're responding to your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line for the next few minutes of the program. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. In about 5 minutes, get ready. It'll be time to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Here's one more comment from the Issues Etc. comment line about a program on false prophets and the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society.
This is Pastor Jim Remke from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Middleville, Michigan. I'm calling with a little bit of a concern I had. I love your program, listen to it all the time, and I'm so thankful for it. However, your program dealing with false prophets and the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society left me a little bit questioning. The speaker, Pastor Rick Petty, made the point repeatedly that the false prophets of the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, Jehovah's Witnesses, part of their problem is that they're so indoctrinated, and that he made it almost sound like that's a bad thing. And it is certainly a bad thing when the doctrine that is being indoctrinated is false. But as a Lutheran pastor, as a teacher at a Lutheran high school, as a father of two daughters, as a husband, I indoctrinate people all the time. And I'm proud to indoctrinate people. It's part of my job. And I think that we run a risk of making that sound indoctrination as though it's a bad thing, when it really is a great thing if we are using the correct doctrine. So it's my only concern, comment about that, is indoctrination is not a bad thing, as long as the doctrine that's being put in is faithful to Scripture, faithful to what God's Word says, and that is found clearly in the indoctrination that all Lutheran pastors, fathers, mothers, teachers should be doing. We should be teaching people and indoctrinating them, and frankly, washing their brains with God's Word and the confession of His Church. Just a thought from Little Middleville, Michigan. Have a great day and keep up the great work. Thanks
right.
a lot.
Thank you very much, and you keep up the good, great work as well. I agree with you. Now, context is king here. So in terms of talking about Jehovah's Witnesses being indoctrinated, I think the context there makes it quite clear that indoctrination is negative when it is with false doctrine. And I agree with you 100%. I think Pastor Petty would also agree with you 100% that when it comes to true doctrine, that is, teachings that are – doctrine just means teaching. That's all it means. Doctrine is not a dirty word. It's a good thing. So is dogma. The Bible actually uses that term, dogma, and doctrine, teaching, statutes, standards. All those things are good things when they are set down by God. They're exceedingly good things. And to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly is to be indoctrinated. Now, I know that Christians nowadays who have drunk deeply or perhaps shallowly from the wells of doctrinal minimalism think that indoctrination is a bad thing. They're mistaken. True doctrine, you can never get enough of it. True doctrine, you can never know it well enough. True doctrine, you can never be versed in it well enough, understand it, learn it well enough, because we're talking about nothing other than the Word of God. And when it's true doctrine, indoctrination is not only a good thing, it's a necessary thing. When it's false doctrine, there should be no indoctrination whatsoever. Context is king.